Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Our recommendation this week is from Emma Jane Purcell, and her podcast is called
Fail Harder.
She has a savage lineup.
Hell of a lineup, yeah. Who was it again?
Paul Mescal was in there, you know, your man with the shorts and the chain who has all the young fellas walking around town.
Panty Bliss, is that what you said? Panty Bliss, yes, amazing guest, but she's very, very good. It's a great concept as well. It's just great to talk about. You know, we always do interviews about everybody and how their great successes, and we forget the line of shit that people have to go through before they get there. And this is basically about the line
of
shit, which is she's amazing. It's really, really good.
Okay, perfect.
And it's one of the ones I don't have to lie about actually listening to before we started, which is great.
That never lie. Anyway, we highly recommend.
Hello, I'm Emma Jane from Fail Harder, the podcast that chats to people at the top of their game about failure, from their first memory of failure to how they cope with it now. I have some unbelievable guests on the show like Paul Mescal, James Kavanagh, Georgina Campbell, the list just goes on. And of course, we'd be mad to take failure too seriously, so every week I have 20 questions in front of me numbered at random. Most are straightforward, however some are a little more unconventional, and in the spirit of failure, my guest can pick the number. They might not like the results, but life's not fair, and neither is my podcast.
Don't forget, you can sign up to Head Stuff Plus, where you can get all your bonus Dubland bits. And also, we need to talk about a live show, but we'll tell you about it over there another day when we figure out what we're doing.
Nearly there.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're in for a treat because you're listening to the Dubland Podcast with Suzanne and PJ.
Shove your Dubland Podcast up your ear holes.
Oh dear. You have a list of things?
No, I want to tell you first of all, I am Mr. Shit is my new name. I've decided to call myself Mr. Shit. There's a new campaign. So many people have adopted dogs and bought dogs and got everything over the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's up 267% on previous years, people getting dogs.
Everybody I know got a dog.
So it means there's an abundance of dog shit all
there
over
is.
The world. There is an abundance.
Oh my God, I said this to Joey the other day. I was walking in the pram and it's on fucking footpaths everywhere.
It's an abundance of dog
shit. Pick up your shit.
Exactly. And I am officially going to be the Dogs Trust Mr. Shit. The campaign starts. They won't be calling me Mr. Shit. I'm sure they have a better name for that.
Poopy head.
The campaign.
Poopy face. PJ the poop. Patroller.
I kind of like Dr. Doo-Doo. Because you know the way
I like
Dr.
PJ Doo-Doo. The poop patroller. Poop patroller PJ.
Yeah, I'm not sure what way they're going to run with it, but there's going to be.
I'm available for all of those campaigns.
But there's going to be a pick up your poop poop person, and I am going to be the pick up your poop poop person with Dogs Trust in. It's going to be a May. So it's going to be, we're going to do like, you know, poo-poo photo shoots. Hopefully get a poo-poo t-shirt.
Have you picking up the poo-poo?
Yeah, of all of that, yeah.
Wasn't there old footage of like the pooper scoopers on Dunleary that you used to be able to pick up your poop with the scooper and put it in the bin on Dunleary Strand? Do you remember that year?
I don't remember that.
Google it, it's there.
But I'm into it because you know what? I've had this real problem with your human poo over the pandemic, you know.
I know.
All of that sort of stuff. And now all of this dog poo, this abundance of dog poo, that's... It's kind of doing my head in. So it's like to encourage people to pick.
But I can't. There's one thing if you're in a park, right?
Yeah.
Your dog poos on the grass in the park. Like, that's one thing of irresponsibility if you don't pick it up. It's like just footpaths.
I know.
Your dog shitting on a footpath and you keep going. Like, I just can't get over the ignorance of somebody who does that.
I know, it's pure ignorant. And then the people who do pick up the doo-doo, right? Yeah, then they get punished sometimes, you know. Because everyone gets caught out an odd time where you just don't have a bag, you run out of a bag, you had three left in your pocket and then all of a sudden it's the dog's goes crazy that day and you get caught. That happens. Or like your man, Elaine's friend, who was in the beach. I think I told you this before. He was on the beach.
No.
And he was bursting to do a poo. Bursting to do a poo on the beach.
Oh, no.
And, like...
He dig a hole and poo.
He just had to, like... There was nothing he could do, you know. And he just pulled down his pants and he did a poo on the beach. Did I not tell you this? And then as he did the poo on the beach then, Just as he was finished, the dog came running over past him, whatever, right?
His own dog?
No, so a dog. A dog, right? When he running past him and all. And he was like, he thought it was a person. He jumped up. He's like, oh, fucking hell, whatever. And then the owner of the dog came up to him and he goes, oh, how are you getting on? Nice day. You know, and he's like, yeah. And the owner saw the poo and he put a bag, the dog on put a bag and he picked up your man's shite on the beach. He picked up the stranger's shite. He picked up the human poo thinking it was his dog. And your man's talking to him like that, looking at him, and he knows that this man is talking to him, holding his poo in a bag in front of him. And he's like, he was like, yeah, well, anyway, so, like, he's doing the whole, no, you don't know what he's eating, you know. And he's like, oh my God, that's my poo. That's mine.
Because you can't
stop
him. That
man's picked up my poo.
You can't stop him there, can you?
No,
like,
you can't
stop
him. You can't say, that's not your dog, I did that. You can't do that. That's outrageous. That's not a conversation that you can ever have. Let the man pick it up. He's used to it. He doesn't know he's picking up a human poo. But he picked it up on, yeah. So there's like, this is the thing, you know, if you don't see your dog doing it, it's hard to convince yourself that you'd start thinking maybe it was another dog or something. I don't know.
Man.
Or even worse still, a fella who got caught out. But yeah, but I'm going to be Mr. Poo. I'm actually quite proud of it. It's one of my pet hates. It's one of my pet hates.
No, I'm
when you see somebody pushing their pram wheels or a pensioner getting their stick in it.
Oh, my pram, I had to go and clean the wheels. I was absolutely livid. But also, it's just like the kids and I'm like, I've enough with germs in my house and trying to get the kids' fucking hands cleaned.
Mothers, I'm telling you. I threw out a pair of runners because I stood in a shitty nappy. I got
what?
Out of my car. Yeah, I was in Bull Island. I told you.
Oh, no, I would never. Jesus
I was on Bull Island, right?
Christ,
I was on Bull Island and I opened the door of the car. I didn't see. And I put my foot straight out of the car and put my foot straight into a baby shit nappy. And I was so disgusted, I took the runner off and left it. I drove home with one shoe. I was so upset.
Yeah,
my friend Ash was with me and she laughed so much she nearly got sick. She still says that was the funniest thing I have ever seen in my life. Was when you put your foot out of the car and stepped in an open shitty nappy. Still like, and the thing is, because I was so fucked up about the shoe, I remember for about 3 days I was going back to the beach.
Still there.
And the shoe was still there. And eventually I was like, I can't do this. This is littering now. So I had to go over and pick up the shitty shoe.
And put it in the bin.
And I put it in a plastic bag and threw it in the boot of the car. And then I put it in the bin. Because it was annoying me. It was a symbol of my ignorance. That every time I went down there, the shoe was that looking at me. Do you know that way?
But now everybody knows that shoe on Bull Island was not belonged to Cinderella. It was belonged to PJ Gallagher.
Well, it's gone now. It's gone now. Can I also tell you something else a bit shitty?
Yeah.
Right? I'm fucking done with burgers, man. I'm done with burgers. Burgers, all these, you know, these artisan burger places are opening all the time.
Yeah.
There's loads of them now.
Yeah.
Loads of these like hipstery style burger places.
Right, okay.
And there's one in particular.
Yeah.
Which I'm not going to name because everyone can have a bad day, right?
Okay.
So I don't want to be a cock in case it was just a bad day.
Right.
But fuck me, right? I have been pretty good with this 5K restriction bullshit, right?
Yeah.
If someone's telling me 5K and I have an option, I don't go, right?
Right.
But people have been shiting on about these burgers for a long time.
I think for food, you can go outside your 5K to pick up and bring it back.
Yeah, I know, but I will still try and do a... You know,
I'm
trying to be a conscientious fucking idiot, right?
Right, good.
So whatever. So if the burger, so I would go to the pizza place or I'd go to local. There's plenty of local. And anyway, you're trying to do the whole support local thing and all that as well. You know yourself.
I tried support local and I rang for a Carvery the other day and it's the third time they've been rude so they can fuck themselves.
Well, yeah, see, fuck that
anymore.
Then. If you've given them more than enough chance, right? So there's this one particular burger place and the pictures... Oh, the Instagram pictures. They've been driving me mental. Honestly, I was like a 14-year-old with a dirty magazine. I couldn't stop looking at the pictures.
I couldn't stop looking at
the pictures. And the pickles and the cut. And the way the cheese is rolling through them and all. And the way they just char-grill the meat to the point that it just looks like, it almost looks like two large slabs of black pudding.
Can you mouth who it is so I can see the pictures?
I'll send you the thing to it.
Okay.
And I was so excited. I was there, fucking, I'm doing it. And I went online onto their site, right? And their site works in such a way that there's so much demand that there's two sessions in the day. So you have to get the pre-6 session and then there's a break and then there's an after. Booked it.
Right.
Went up to get it, right?
Right.
Parked at the place, and they said the name of the road. Parked on the street, right? It's about fucking 7 or 8K from the house. I was ran in.
Right.
Opened it up. The chips tasted like I was chewing the toenails of a fucking tramp, and the burger was the biggest ball of grease bullshit I've ever had. It was disgusting. It was disgusting. It was disgusting. And I was trying to do the thing where you convince yourself, you know, you bite, you go,
gorgeous.
And then the grease was like running down my hand. Grease was running down my hand. Like, you know, when you have you know the way a dog drips saliva? Do you ever show an old dog a biscuit? Yeah, you know when you show an old dog a biscuit? It was like the grease was hanging out of it.
Nice.
And the bun! The bun soggy. Isn't like any of the pictures. No, it was just like...
It wasn't brioche.
It wasn't soft. You know the way it was like...
Stale.
Like a sponge.
Yeah.
Brioche. Yeah. It was too... It was too long. It wasn't. I was disgusted.
Now I want to know who they
are. I'm done with fancy burger places. And it was expensive, like...
Yeah, they always
you
are.
You know what I mean? Some of these... But some of them are grand, right? Like, here's the note here. I'm going to send this to you.
I had a spice bag for the first time like a week or two ago.
Yeah.
But I think I'm too old for them.
I think I'm too old for them as well. I honestly do.
I don't get it. I was like, oh, they're okay. But then everyone was like, oh, did you get a curry sauce one? And I was like, no. And they're like, oh, you need a curry sauce one. I was like, well, then they should be a server and recommendation when you're ordering it from your local Chinese. They should say to you on the phone, your spice bag, no worries. Would you like a curry to accompany a curry sauce to accompany that? Do you know what I mean?
I don't get it.
No, I just kind of found it a bit like.
Did you see that scene in the First Dates when I talk about the spice bag?
That's why I got one, because initially all that Instagram was feeding me was that clip of your man going, what do you mean you've never heard of a spice bag?
I don't know what a spice bag is. Yeah. And he's shocked and he goes, this is a cultural thing.
Yeah.
And because she's from the north.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I don't know what it is. Is it like a crispy chili chicken? And he's like, and he just.
He's like, it's a spice bag.
He doesn't know what she means by a crispy chili chicken. He's like, no, it's like a spice bag. You know, it's a spice. And I just have to say, I was on her side. I was like, oh, do I really know what's in the spice bag? I don't think I do.
I didn't know what was in the spice bag because even I went, I'll get it. And it arrived. So it was like, there's chicken in it, like chicken balls and a kind of battered chicken.
Chicken balls?
No, they're like battered chicken pieces. And a seasoning on the thing and a couple of bits. Like, it wasn't the worst thing but I'm an OG. I'm an OG. I'm an original. A 3-in-1 now is for me. I like 3-in-1.
I know what you mean. You see, that's the crap that we grew up with. That was there.
I remember 3-in-1 coming out, and it was honestly one of the most continental things I've ever heard of in my life.
It definitely
rice
was.
Rice on the bottom of the tray, chips poured in curry sauce. 3-in-1, continental.
Know. But when we were young, that was a thing. That was
you might as well be in Asia.
I know.
You know?
I know. Bear in mind, it was different for us. We didn't get takeouts back then like other people.
No.
I literally had strange men delivered to my house before I had a Chinese delivered to my house. Like, that's, you know, like, it was different. It was different.
Very true.
A totally different experience. You know what I mean? The whole fish and chip thing was started only because anyway, like, we didn't have money to go to restaurants.
It was a Friday chipper. Yeah, so on Friday we never ate meat.
So no one could go to a restaurant really. Yeah. Only very wealthy people could. So the idea of not cooking was
we used fish to go and chips to thing. We used to go to a Chinese called the Summer House on Walkinstown Roundabout, and we used to go there for birthdays. So like my mum's birthday, my dad's birthday, or we went to Nico's on Dame Street. They were the two restaurants that we used to go to. But my mum and dad never ate meat on a Friday. So my mum would do ray and chips, but
I used to hate that, yeah. That was always an argaff as well.
You weren't allowed to have
especially
meat.
Like Easter time now, Good Friday. Oh, forget
my
about
mum said something like, whatever it was, Ash Wednesday or whatever. I was like, literally, I just sat there and had, I don't know, fucking steak and chips or something. My mum was like, an Ash Wednesday. I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, she's like, I'm just having a bit of ray and chips. I was like,
for Ash Wednesday?
You're not allowed to have meat on Ash Wednesday, I'm pretty sure. And I'd say, this would have been Holy Week. There's a lot of things around Holy Week that you're not allowed to do.
Is that? I thought it was just.
No, there's loads around Holy
Week. I know even eating fish is bad. Have you seen the documentary on Netflix, the new one everyone's talking about?
No.
Oh my God, have you not?
No, I've been watching Married at First Sight Australia.
Ocean-spiracy, I think it's called. Sea-spiracy. Is that what it's called? Sea-spiracy? Suzanne.
It's giving us
COVID. I'm warning
you
not to watch it.
No, I'm not.
I watched every bit of it. I swear to God, I've never felt so guilty in my life. I've always, like, you know, tried to stay off the meat as much as possible, thinking I wasn't doing as much harm to the world by eating fish. And this is it is so depressing. All these environmental shows now, they're so...
Everything.
They all feel so overwhelming. Do you know what I mean?
I think that, I feel like at the moment...
And you're people like you get really in. You're really in for shitting these shows. Or the straws. You know, you and your plastic straws. You know, you're a plastic straw addiction.
We had a scientist here who says the straws aren't actually... They're not that bad.
Do you know what apparently they say in this documentary is the worst thing? Is the actual fishing equipment. So the equipment they use, they discard...
I don't fish.
I know you don't fish, but if you eat it, you encourage the behaviour.
I don't really eat fish because I don't really like fish. The only thing I really, really want is crab claws, but I only want them from Canara Kitchen and Ranla, and they're not on their takeaway menu, so there was no point in that.
Yeah, you have a real way of thinking, like on a less than global scale.
Do you know why? Well, I tell you why. I do, right? Yeah. Because if I let shit into my brain, right? So as I was saying in the last episode, my uncle died like the week before last.
Okay, I'm not laughing at that. I'll laugh for a different reason.
And I'm sitting at home and I started to think about the bigger picture of being dead, right? So I've decided that I'm better to stay in my small nucleus of my brain.
Yeah.
Because when I start to think about things, like if I started to even take on the world or the poverty in the world or the hurt hurt in the world. I wouldn't sleep.
I know, you start crying when there's a soppy bit of a bank ad.
I wouldn't sleep. I still can't get over the McDonald's Christmas ad about the child growing up. I'm not able. If I think about my kids getting older or someone being mean to my kids, can't cope with it. So I stay in my nucleus, so I break it down and go, well, I don't really eat fish. And the only thing I really want is the crab claw from Canara, but they don't do that at the moment, so I'm saving crabs, essentially. That sounds wrong. But, you know, I think it's easier to just not to drill down. Just keep it on a surface.
I know, but there's no party that thinks, well, I have to play my part. Like, there's no party that...
I recycle.
Yeah.
I compost.
Yeah. Do you compost?
Oh, yeah.
I don't really know what that is. I know that's a ridiculous thing to say.
I have a compost bin. I bought my bio something.
So what goes in there now?
Everything, every bit of food. Every bit of food goes into that. It doesn't smell. It's like a special bin. Right. And then it has these compost bags that you put into it. I have it in the corner of the kitchen. So you scrape all the plates into it or all the food. Yeah. But actually it saves you a lot on because the weight of food. So like... everything goes into that, all the food, or like if you have flowers in the house, they can be composted. The grass, we've got the grass or the tree trimmings, all that composts.
Yeah.
Fucking essentially Mother Earth.
But see, when you see now, this is the thing, I hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, this is another thing I should do.
Yeah. You don't compost.
I don't compost, no. Yeah. But you see, this is what's so overwhelming about the whole environmental issue, right? Because no matter what you think you're doing right, you're always contributing to the problem in another way.
I drive a car that's old.
So I drive a car. I bought a diesel car. I thought diesel is better than petrol. And as soon as I bought it, they said, we're going to have to start phasing it out. I was there. We literally just phased it the fuck in. We literally just phased it the fuck in. I literally thought I was doing the right thing. I did the wrong thing. I wear me jeans till the balls fall out of them. Literally, I wear them till the balls fall out. So fast fashion, all that, not my thing, right?
No.
I wear t-shirts I get for free. I know, so I literally think I'm doing the right thing there.
Okay.
You know, I think I am.
Yeah.
And now, I've tried to eat as little meat as I have for a while. Well, no, I got back into eating meat. Okay, but you know what I mean? I tried to eat meals without meat in them as often as I can.
Okay.
And then I thought I was eating fish is the right thing. I turned out eating fish is like one of the worst things you can do.
Everything is...
So I keep being overwhelmed by this.
Well, then let me tell you this. Don't be watching that. Take yourself over to Married at First Sight, Australia.
Ah, would you stop with that now?
So you don't get stressed.
My ma's 83 years old. Every single time I walk into the front room, she's sitting there watching this thing. And it's no talk to her time.
No.
This is an 83 year old woman with heart disease and cancer, right? And you talk to her about vaccines and her health and she's like, scratch, whatever, no big deal, whatever, won't talk about it. Walk in with that on, I'm fucking doing something. I'm watching this now.
It's ridiculous. Very good. Oh, it's very good.
Is it not?
Ugh. Oh, it is. And you know, it's like, what did we get into last year that we were watching Below Deck? It's like that.
There's a new one of them as well.
Yeah, I heard that. On in on that. but yeah, it's like, so it's just, and it's really funny. Every time so Joey was like, oh, I don't think so. I don't think mentally I can cope with this shit now because
he starts and then he can't get out of it. You keep like
he's such an addictive personality, and it's funny. Oisin, my son, is like that. Oisin has an addictive personality like Joey, because at the moment Oisin's on DT or DTs. He's not allowed any electronics because he's fucking off his face on Minecraft. So he's been cut off.
No,
and Joey's the same. So like, we'll get the kids to bed and they'll go, do you think we have time
for an episode?
And I'll get an old episode.
You're
in. Oh yeah, he'd be like, we got Micah 2 in, but yeah, so. It's
tell me what is the concept
wonderful.
Of this show, please.
So basically,
because I see people getting
5 girls or 10 girls and 10 men, and they the first time they meet their husband. Now, it's bear in mind, it's a ceremony. It's not like, to the best of my knowledge, it doesn't seem to be legally binding. But anyway, but it's a whole wedding. Like they're in the dress, the thing, and the first time they lock eyes with each other is the top of the altar. But they're matched by experts.
Oh,
which
yeah.
I use fucking loosely, because I tell you, even judging by some of them, I go, I would never put them together. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, so they're matched by experts, and based on, I'm sure they are experts, but like based on whatever different type of personal attributes or their characteristics or things that they want in life or, you know, whatever it is. And then they put them together.
Yeah.
And it's a social experiment that like basically they spend this month together, but this first 2 weeks, and then they go on honeymoon, they get to know each other, and then they live together in this like complex basically in Sydney, I think it is, that they've
right, so they're set
built.
Up to fail. Like this is not, you know, this is not
but
conducive
them,
to a healthy
relationship.
Some
of them actually naturally fall in love. Now I just think some of them are a bit desperate that they've lost all hope, so they just go, fuck it, I'll go for it. But then So, but because we've been watching on the box, we had jumped into it, but we jumped into season 8, which I thought everybody was watching, which I've realised is only going out in Australia at the moment.
Oh, right. So you got caught up.
So we got caught up. So we had to go back. Brian was all for Coco. But every time I watch it, I say, not every time, but a couple of times we've watched it, I'm like, one of my pals, a guy I went out when I was 16, like, but we obviously went out when we were kids, but we're always day pals. He lives in Australia. And I keep saying to Joey, like, he's a fucking prime candidate now. I think he has a girlfriend now, but to turn up on this, he's that kind of character. I could see him on this show. So they're all different types of men, all different types of women. And then they have like confessions week where they have to confess. Like one of them made a confession that she was like, I used to be a lesbian. I mean, I don't know how you used to be a lesbian.
You're
bisexual probably. But yeah, it's just, it's, oh, you want to get into it. See, and then you're not stressing about the fish in the sea.
I know. I loved about Below Deck, this super reality TV show.
Get into
it. Sucked the reality out of your life, you know.
Get into it. That's what I said.
Nothing real about them. Yeah. Just nonsense.
It is good. What else was on your list? We digressed. Didn't we? How did we digress there? Did you have something else you wanted to tell me?
I can't remember. No.
Arcane Boys.
Oh, the Arcane Boys band. Yes. Michael Joyce,
yeah.
When did we talk about
years
him?
Years ago. I can't remember. I was at a match or something and he came up on about.
He was only young fella.
Yeah.
His mom sent me a DM. I literally saw it this morning. I do not check my DMs like the... There's a whole other section of DMs
and I
haven't gone into them. And I just saw it and went, shit, I need to read it, but I haven't had a chance to read it.
Yeah.
So...
He got on to me as well.
What did he say?
Oh, Jesus. I'm not going to be able to find it. But he got on to me. Basically, he was saying, I am the fella, the roly-poly fella.
Call him a roly-poly fella?
I called him the roly-poly fella.
Kind about him?
No. And then I said, then he was the tossy-turny. And now he's the tossy-turny lad at the front. That's what he is now.
Was he the tossy-turny lad at the time?
I don't know. I think he was...
Did we talk about the time that I went...
Was he a fluter or something at the time?
I don't know. Flutist.
A flautist or something.
Did we talk about the time that we went down to... We played a Fela, a Camogie Fela. Did we talk about that? And the Artane Boys band?
No, you never.
We essentially thought they were like a fucking boy band. We all wanted to get off on an Artainer. They were in their little blue and red suits. All the lads. I didn't because I was a frigid. So
I don't remember them, but I remember when I was in school, the Garda band coming to the school was a huge deal.
Oh wow.
The Garda band coming was a huge deal. Like it was a gig. Like, you know, you wore your best runners and all for the Garda band. The Garda band
didn't
drive
runners into school.
Uniforms.
Did you not?
No, not in primary school, no.
What?
No, not in primary
it's
school.
Very expensive for a parent. You wouldn't be able to do that now because you've changed your clothes every single day.
Oh fuck that.
You're not allowed
to
wear the same clothes day in, day out.
Why?
Germs.
Shut up!
Yeah, they have to wear fresh.
No, kids can't do fuck up. Now the Garda band would come and you'd walk in and you'd have your super can of Coke and your king size Mars bar and you'd be sitting there.
Oh
waiting.
My god, you remember king size bar 50p?
Yeah, and super
and the big
cans.
Cans Coke, yeah.
And then the Garda band would come.
Your face for
and
days.
The Garda band, the tossy turny lad of the Garda band was he used to wear white gloves, right?
Yeah.
So he was the conductor, right? And he the tossy turny lad, he'd stand at the front and he used to say things. And it was brilliant because we were all really young. It was primary school.
Mm.
So like we'd be 8 or whatever.
You wouldn't be calling them pigs.
But he knew we knew everything about late night TV. So he'd be like, who here likes a bit of Dallas? And we were all like, hey! You know what I mean? And then he'd go, let's go. And we'd be... Hey, we'd all be doing our JRs.
I think that's what we all
and then he played Cagney and Lacey, all the cop shows, and Minder. They used to play Minder.
I'd be so good.
Yeah,
for,
I could be so good for you.
Is that your song from?
It was what a gig. And you got home wearing you'd slip off your Velcro sealed runners, put your feet up.
Do you not have those black runners? You know the ones with slip-ons.
No, I didn't know. I know the ones you're talking
pumps.
About. No, Sizzlers. You go
we
to Boyers, and they used to have this thing in Boyers.
Where Boyers. What's Boyers?
Boyers, the shop just off North Earl Street there
we
in
went
town.
To Clark's.
Oh.
You know, Arnott's.
No, Arnott's was this expensive one. Boyers was the cheap one down the road.
You didn't go there.
You went to Boyers, and there was the Sizzlers runners. There was a big basket, a huge fucking basket, right, of Sizzlers runners. And if you found
you
the left and the right,
them.
If you found the left and the right in the basket that were the same size, then you could buy
free.
Them. But they were all just fucked in, sort of randomly. Not for free, you had to buy them, but they were really cheap. But they were dead.
Okay.
And then, they get old, and your elf will have glued them shut. Which was a bit of a fucking, it was a bit mad, because these get real hot and burn your feet then.
Yeah, because they all used to heat up, because we had remember the black pumps in school? We had the slip-on pumps.
I remember
them. Pee pumps.
With a little bit of sort of elastic
at
the front of
them. Yeah, in the front of them, yeah. And because they didn't mark the gym floor.
Oh yeah, plimsolls.
We called them pumps. Those like your pee pumps, because you'd wear you'd be like to wear your tracksuit in. They'd wear your pee pumps. And we all had these black.
I
see the kids going in now wearing fucking Air Max.
But I never understood the fucking bullshit of that anyway. Because so you go to school, right? Yeah. You go to school and you're not allowed to stand on the floor because you're marking with your runners.
Yeah.
And if you were caught doing it, you're sent home or suspension or detention or someone give you a slap in the back of the head or whatever, right? And then Saturday night, the Grove was the local sort of disco that would open and everybody was allowed in wearing whatever the fuck they wanted for the whole night. I never understood it.
Well, I suppose
it.
Maybe he did the big clean
up. What was the point of
this? Yeah. I never thought about it. But funny, speaking of schools, our local secondary school had a bomb scare the other day.
Oh, brilliant.
So the, like, guards the lot, right?
Shut up.
So our, my girls' WhatsApp group is like, we all put it up, go, because it made the news and everything. And we were like, oh my God, there's a bomb scare, right? And we all went to the same conclusion. Now, I get it. If, by the way, if you're listening and you take this of going the north and the troubles, that's fine. But as if I had been a teenager, there was two trains of thoughts there. I was like, we would have loved the drama of a bomb scare.
Yeah.
Fucking loved a bomb
scare.
Because
you know there's no bomb for that for a start.
And then I went, whoever's done that is in. Like, I literally sent back on, they are in deep shit. Like, whoever's rang that in are in. Like, if we had rang a bomb scare in back in the 90s where I went to that school.
Well, you'd be in serious shit.
But there would be no way of tracing it, really.
Not really.
You could go to a phone box and ring it in, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be no security cameras around to go, it was Suzanne Kane from Class Earn. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Didn't do her homework for Mr. Moriarty. Do you know what I mean? So like, whereas now, that person, like literally that happened. And by that afternoon, you can be sure a shit sticks to a blanket. There was like a...
Do you think?
Knock on the door saying, can we talk about your son
or daughter? Has
someone
been caught for it?
I haven't followed up on the story.
But that's definitely
But
like,
I just think the drama... And there's only 6 years in there. Because everybody's off. Because only in secondary schools, only the 6 years are in the secondary schools at the moment.
But that's the sort of overreaction you used to think that was normal when you were a kid.
A bomb scare?
Well, anything, because you thought school was so, like, you thought you could be in so much fucking trouble all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That you would do any sort of amount of drastic bullshit to get out of something that now you realise is so small. Like, remember kids trying to get their mates to break their arms so they wouldn't have to sit a test and all.
Okay,
remember
that seemed
like that?
A bit extreme.
Oh,
no,
I
just wanted
that.
I wanted to break
remember
my arm
shit like that all the time.
I wanted to break my arm because I thought that the cast was quite glamorous and all the attention you got and everyone got to write on your cast. I longed, and then someone
just,
always carried
always
your
fun
bag
until someone just drew a fucking flute on it or something.
Well, that wouldn't
like,
have
like, that's the
you
know,
you
then
know
you're
you
in trouble. It was always
writing.
You that got in trouble. Like someone would do something to you and you would get in trouble.
Well,
that's what
we
I remember.
Just had nice bubble writing and like you know, Neve, Denise, Eva. Start oh. Best friends, that kind of, they would have been a girl's version of it, but it was like someone had to carry your bag and all that, like you were a little celebrity, do you know, if you broke an arm or a leg. I'm just thinking, wow, that's
yeah, I don't know
that, like.
I just remember that those overreactions were completely par for the course normal, like people could try and
everything. I remember me and my pal used to
people
sit,
coming in and claiming mad debts in their family and all of these things, and they were
like
all
your man
complete, but,
from the Irish football team. Nobody died.
Oh yeah, well yeah, that's a, he did a few times. Yeah,
but no, but I think I did that in college as well. Actually, I think I just didn't turn up when I told them my granny died, and I think they rang the house and said to my dad, "I'm really sorry," and he was like, "Oh, she died 2 years ago." So
see, that's the fucking you see,
you
and then that's an awful thing
house,
to do because you
like,
always take advantage. I know one particular
dead
fella. Oh, this is much
I
worse.
Learned my lesson that time, I have to say. My dad nearly fucking ripped me a new one. I was in big trouble.
Oh my God. Like, it's they're taking advantage of people's goodwill.
Yeah.
Like, I know one fella, right?
Yeah.
He was, how do I say? Or he was a chef, right?
Right.
And he claimed, to get out of work, he said his brother was killed in a car crash. That's what
I mean,
he said.
That's a bit dramatic.
That's what he said to get out of work. He had proper drinker's dread, right? He went on the piss and he got fucked up, and he said his brother died in a car crash, right? And he thought that would be the end of it.
Of course
that he would be able to take a few days off, right? Of course that wasn't the fucking end of it. The people he worked with were very concerned about him.
Of course they were.
And they called up to his house with bunches of flowers and cards and asked him if he was all right. And they were sending family messages saying, I hope everything's okay. You know, all this. We were like, man, what you've done is a fucking awful thing. Like, you're really taking advantage of the goodwill. And he was like, it's not that bad, he goes. I never had a brother, he said. I was like, no, that's completely missing the point. It is completely missing the point. The fact that you met the man never existed is not the fucking moral problem with this.
The takeaway from this is not that.
Yeah, the moral problem with this is not somebody did or didn't die. The moral problem is you said your brother died to these people and they're all trying to help you. Like, they're fucking practically doing collections and work to make sure you're all right, doing everything they can so you get through this difficult time, and you think it's all right because, nah, I never had a brother in the first place. That's not all right, like.
Fucking
that's not
hell.
All right.
Oh my God.
But it wasn't not all right to the point that we ratted him out. But he got caught anyway, of course.
Of course he got. You always get caught.
Because shit like that goes around. You know, somebody
well,
says.
Well, death, yeah, people say sorry for
people
your
say,
love.
Oh yeah, his brother died. And eventually someone goes, he doesn't have a brother. And then you're caught by the bollocks. That's what happens, yeah. You know.
Like, well, in fairness, my granny did die. She just died a good couple of years previously. I didn't specify when.
See, this
exactly
is more than bullshit logic. This does not make this okay in any way at all. There's no part of lying about somebody dying.
Anyway, all my take from it was, I get that like bomb scares are not ideal, but I just, me and my group were like, can you imagine we hadn't been in school? The fucking, and it was like the drama of a bomb scare would just be like, you'd be, just love it. You'd be, imagine like the talk around and the WhatsApp groups.
Oh,
everything's
yeah.
lit up.
And then there's lies in the spoofers and all.
Everything gone. I heard the bomb squad came in through the windows and smashed all the windows in, and it was like there was a helicopter overhead.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, this all came in, and I heard that it was ISIS, and you know, like it was
all
just
that
escalate.
Shit. Yeah. All the kids' yeah, exaggerations
yeah.
getting
yeah,
put on.
I heard Trump is landing in Jude's car.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. He was yeah. here. I seen him there.
Oh my God, I loved when people used to do that, tell the biggest fibs ever. They're like, I seen him in Orwell shops. And it's like, if he was in Orwell shops, people would have known. And I said, well, nobody else must have been in there. Really? The busiest shops in all of the area, because we've nowhere else to shop. He was in fucking Londres. I'm telling you, I saw him in Londres.
Yeah. I remember one of the lads in my school thought that Nelson Mandela was a rapper, right? You know the whole Free Nelson Mandela thing, right? And he was convinced that
That's
he palpable. Was like a musician that had been locked up for something, for a crime he didn't commit. And we were like, Nelson Mandela is not
a rapper.
He's not a musician.
I mean, he could be
and
now.
His way of proving us wrong was to say, he fucking is, I have his album at home. Like, that was the he fucking
yeah,
is,
but if you tell,
I have his album.
You always yeah, have to back it up. Like you yeah, always I know, that's have a, to, like, say. So I remember, actually, I did a thing with Tony Harrer, and he was saying that he finally got to hang around with his older, like Tony Cantwell, he got to hang around with his brother's, older brother's mates and all. And he went out and they said something about nicknames and he got the guy's name wrong.
Yeah.
But to backtrack that he'd fucked up, he went, yeah, sure, I've given his all nicknames. And they were like, what are your nicknames? So he'd on the spot, like, go down the line and be like, you're a Bosco. Because you just, like, as a teenager, there's nothing you can do to backtrack there and just go, actually. Because you're just trying to gain status. It's all
I know, it's
gaining.
All about not looking stupid, trying to fit in, trying to be,
well,
yeah.
It's just a smaller game of Instagram.
Do you know, pretty much.
It's a face-to-face game of Instagram.
Pretty much,
without
yeah.
a filter, like. Do you know what I mean? But I honestly, it's like, I love to find out who rang it in and what the repercussions were and were they in big shit, like, because, and it was so funny that, like, even that, me and my mates all went, oh, they're in big shit. Like, it was like we were in school, right? They're dead. They're in big shit now.
Isn't Ireland gassed out of the way bomb scares? Remember bomb scares were like in the 90s and all? Just before the ceasefire. Like, they were fairly regular.
Fuck, yeah.
But bombs very rarely went off in the south. Very rarely. Like, there was the Dublin Monaghan
bombing. The Dublin Monaghan bombing. So what were they, 1970?
I don't know. I think it was it, I don't know. I think it was before. I don't know, to
so
be
my
honest.
Dad, I said that but, before, my dad was in town and like missed those, like just by...
Just missed it?
Yeah, like not like half. And he was in his, wherever, I think he works in Smith and Pearson or somewhere, and he was driving through town. And going back home and like missed them by minutes.
Just
like, well,
fucked up, like.
Just happened to miss them, like.
But like, know. but then into the '90s, then it was like people hear bomb scare and they just used to think, oh, Daddy's day off. You
but
know.
You know, it's funny. I watched the Jack Charlton.
Like,
you watched the Jack Charlton thing?
Not yet. No, it was too late.
Oh,
I'm gonna watch
on
it today.
Tonight.
Yeah,
just watch the series because in between on Virgin Media they were stopping and there were stories and everything. Whereas just the Jack Charlton story is quite enthralling. But like. It's funny, they showed, fucking hell, they showed the Irish, Republic of Irish football team going up to play that last qualifier game in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Like, we are so lucky. We are just...
That was an unbelievable time.
Like, when you think of what the peace process represented and what it did and, like, if you were growing up...
In that match. I will never forget that match.
Fucking
I'll never forget
hell,
the like. Drama around that match. The North playing the Republic.
To me, it was because I was too young.
Winner went to the World Cup. That was
yeah.
a big thing.
Yeah,
that was
the
big...
It was the qualifier to get to the World Cup.
And the hate in the
yeah,
media.
That's what... It's so
and,
funny.
And all over. Like, the absolute hate. And I remember Joe Duffy doing a show and he was interviewing people who were locals from Windsor Park.
Okay.
You know,
is that
and
where the...
That's where the game was
yeah.
played, you know. And he was saying that... And there was people on there saying, if anyone comes up here with a tricolour, there is going to be serious trouble. Like,
but
lives
no,
will be lost
no,
and all that.
There was no supporters in the ground. Because watch it, but it's like you hear... So there's obviously they use
the
audio
game.
Of Jack Charlton.
Like yesterday I remember the game.
Talking over and he was saying... It was so nasty.
So hateful.
Yeah, he said it was so nasty. It
so
was vicious, like.
Andy Townsend, apparently, like, you know, who's grew up in England, basically.
Yeah.
And he walked in, he said he'd never seen anything like it. He just couldn't believe the hate that was coming onto the field.
Yeah.
And he looked at Roy Keane and said, what's all this about? Like, and Roy Keane just goes, where do I start? Like, I can't.
Stop. too far.
We're about to do. Yeah, I don't know where to start.
But even that, like as Jack Charlton said, he didn't jump up and down at the side of the pitch. He didn't.
No, because it would have caused so much trouble.
He just acknowledged
and it was
and
all
left,
the shots fired, like from the manager, the Northern team, Billy. What was his name? I can't remember his second name at the time. It was fucking so hateful. And Niall Quinn tells the story of, you know, driving up there and people making rifle fucking movements with sticks into the window.
He said the children were no older than 12.
Yeah.
He said, so all, they were all leaned across and then they all went up on one knee. And he said, they knelt down on one knee. And when they knelt down, he said there was another line behind them all pretending to have shot rifles.
Them.
Just like...
crazy
Jesus,
fucking hate.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know your man, you know your man Alan McLaughlin that scored the goal that day.
Yeah.
By the way, it's a good show for him. I hope he's all right. He's having a rough time at the moment.
Really?
He's fighting cancer.
Oh, God help
him. And he, like, is a really forgotten about Irish hero because he scored the goal that day.
The qualifier.
That put us into the fucking first ever World Cup. That brought us Italy 90.
I think Jack says it in it, go on and do what you do best. And he came on and scored the goal.
And he went on, he scored the goal.
But
and he scored that goal.
He's
and
lost
that,
to Andy Townsend and Tony Cascarino and Paul McGrath.
He's lost
Ray
to all
Houghton
these big figures. And he is the reason Italy 90 happened. Like that whole wonderful voyage, that whole ole, ole, ole. The Paddy Bonner, the Dave O'Leary. We all think
amazing.
The Paddy Bonner save. We all think of Dave O'Leary's penalty. Yeah, we all think of these amazing moments.
Good
but we forget about Alan's
Dave
goal.
O'Leary.
We forget about Alan McLaughlin's goal. And he's suffering now. So I really hope he's all right.
Best wishes.
So I hope best wishes to him. Because he's a fucking proper Irish hero.
Do you know what? That was my... I remember I sent Joey because we both talked about that last night. I remember Italian 90 and Robert McCabe, one of our family friends, one of my dad's best friend's son, and he passed away on Patrick's Day 2 years ago and just in had a terrible accident. But I remember Robbie McCabe didn't stop in school. Like we were in primes. He didn't fucking stop. I'm going to the World Cup. And I'm pretty sure that because we got through or something happened, they ended up fucking staying on. Like he was 10. They ended up staying on. And like, do you remember because Eamon Dunphy was on it and I remember them coming in the Charlton t-shirts hanging Eamon Dunphy from a tree because their kids went to his kids went to our school. So they were hanging their dad basically off a tree. Because he was just the biggest hay figure, but I remember them being in the club and watching one of the Romania game or whatever it was or something, and like Jack Tierney again passed away in the club, but he was an ice cream man. Like ice cream pops, and he went down to his freezer van, came up with two boxes of ice cream, and literally was like to all the kids. Fucking ice creams at everybody, and we're all sitting there, and everyone's just like, and then go down to the walk and stand around about it. There was fucking carnage. Like,
but sure, it was amazing.
There's
a whole book written about what happened in the 10 minutes after that penalty was scored.
Really?
There's a whole book written about it.
Oh my God, I'd love to read that.
And it's an amazing read. It's an amazing
just
read.
The joy.
What happened in Ireland? One woman was going to the rotunda in the back of her car up O'Connell Street, and fucking Dave O'Leary scored the penalty. It was empty. Like it was like pandemic empty. There was nothing.
Yeah, they showed all the stuff going at 3:45.
Yeah.
The shops are closed.
And then, of course, she was halfway up the street when Dave O'Leary scored the penalty.
Fuck.
So the street was all of a sudden swarmed and she couldn't
move. Oh my God.
And she was crying in the back seat of the car trying to get to the rotunda. And a lad stuck his head into the back seat and says, "Don't worry, Mrs. I had a few tears myself earlier on as well." it was just wild. There was one woman went to the forecourts and she was arrested that night after it, and she was in... what's the name of the fucking...
Bridewell.
The Bridewell.
Yeah.
So she was up in front of the judge in front of the Bridewell the next day.
Yeah.
And the judge said, public order, you know, what happened? And she goes, I'll be honest with you, Judge. Dave O'Leary scored that goal and I don't know what happened. I woke up here this morning. I have no idea what happened. The guards are telling me I did this and I don't know what to say.
Oh,
all I know is Dave O'Leary scored that goal and I lost money. And now I have no money for a taxi home. Not only was the court case thrown out, the judge gave her taxi fare to get back to the fucking house.
What's that book? I need to read it.
Gave her the taxi fare. Oh, if you Google it, you'll find it. I don't know. It's really easy to find. But it's an amazing series of events that changed Irish history.
My dad went to USA 94.
Fuck
my
yeah.
brother won a Budweiser competition. I told you this before in the podcast. My brother won and the house phone rang at whatever, 11:30 at night. So obviously somebody had died. So my dad ran down the stairs to get the house phone and he said, I could hear him going, I can't believe you. Anyway. Gets off thing. He goes, Jesus. He says, Glenn's after winning a trip to America to the World Cup of Budweiser. So anyway, they were set to go. Jeffrey, my brother, was doing his. So he was going to bring Jeff. Jeffrey's doing his leaving cert, so he wasn't allowed to go. So my dad and my brother Glenn went on. It was a proper leg. Like, my dad said they kept giving them like Bud Light, this new beer. They got jackets. they were in Giant Stadium in New York. Oh, my dad never been to the state. When you think about the joy. Anyway, I hope that man is... I hope Alan is on the right road.
Because he only announced it like last week that he wasn't. Oh, well, and it was so,
best wishes
one of the best things ever. That whole...
He is. He's like the forgotten Irishman.
He is the forgotten hero of the whole thing. He really is the forgotten hero.
All right. Well, listen, we have to go now because Peter's to go and get a root canal.
I've done for the third time. This thing is so deep now I can feel it in my fucking knee. How deep can these fucking holes go? I swear to God, I'm so upset.
Dry socket.
Oh, yeah, with the pee. Oh. Yeah, so I have to go and get my face done.
Right, okay, well, enjoy that. Don't forget, you can subscribe headstuff.com to register for the podcast if you want bonus bits. The bonus
headstuffpodcast.com.
Headstuffpodcast.com. If the bonus bits, last week, if you missed it, we were talking about, what were we talking about last week? Oh, Jesus and the Cave.
Yeah.
And this week's has been brilliant. I can't remember what it was.
This week there's the Easter thing. This week on the bonus there's the Easter thing.
Okay,
the
Easter. No, last week bonus, because this week's the next bonus. No, doesn't matter. Look, there's loads of bonus stuff instead.
Yeah, that's loads of bonus stuff instead. Right, I'm gonna go get my face done.
Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.